You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and we're live at Purple Haze Radio, and it is a beautiful, beautiful early morning on the Sunset Strip, and the weather is so great, and I'm so happy all you guys are here to hang out with us today. I'm super excited to have two of my just awesome friends and guests that decided to come up and chill with us early at 4:20 in the morning. We got Luke Wilson, one of the best glass blowers, in my opinion, for over 17 years running the game here in California, and then Adam Sostrin, cannabis lawyer that has been on Fox News talking about the new recreational gamut and what the change is for California. So welcome, guys, and welcome to the show. Hope you guys are doing well. How you guys doing today, Luke? How you doing today?
Oh, doing fabulous. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. What about you, Adam?
Mr. Pensacalis, it is great to be here.
So you guys do anything crazy? Luke, you just chilling a little bit last night? I know you had to come up early in the morning. I appreciate you getting up so early in the morning to hang out with us.
Yeah, as you know, it's late nights and early mornings for me.
But, especially being a glassblower, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a trade that just is real interesting, because people don't understand, like, really how hard it is to do what you do. I mean, you have to, like, first of all, be able to withstand the heat, the flame, sitting in front of a torch. But no one can just, like, get up and make a glass masterpiece, right? It takes years of work, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's obviously an occasional person here and there who's just naturally talented, but it's definitely a lot of work regardless.
Right. Luke, you know, I got a D+ or something like that in wood shop, so I don't think I could ever do any of that.
You never know. You might surprise yourself. Try it out.
It might be. I think the hardest thing is that when you make a piece and then all of a sudden it breaks after spending so much time, and then all of a sudden you got to have the fucking, you know, like the ability to just get up and, like, do it over again, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the roughest parts, you know, is maintaining your composure when shit like that happens, you know?
Yeah, you have to have a good psychological ability to be a glass artist, and then just have a lot to sit up for hours, right, on a chair fucking doing shit like you do.
Yeah, there's the occasional color issue where it's not compatible with the other clear glass and other things it's acting with, but I've had 40 hours invested into one piece, and it's completely go to waste. So.
Yeah, 40 hours. Can you imagine that? You're sitting on a torch. I imagine that. You're doing that 40 hours of work, all of a sudden it smashes. Would you do it again?
No.
Would you go and make the same piece again?
Luke, Andrew, I've never
not in the
done
same colors, definitely
40.
Not. You know, it's like,
I've never done 40
you gotta learn
hours
your lesson there.
It's amazing work, Luke. Amazing.
So Adam, you know, just to start off everything, we're in the wonderful recreational state of California now.
Right.
And, you know, let's talk about what that actually is. What does that mean if you're a tourist and you get to come to California now? And, you know, can you just go into any place and just get weed, or, you know, can young people roll in, or what's the deal? Why don't you give us a skip?
Well, the new rules are, you know, it's so amazing. Everything's changed, right? We started with the Compassionate Use Act in the 1990s, 1996. After that, then we allow for some type of dispensaries in 2004. We have medicinal marijuana in so many states. Then all of a sudden, the states are starting to go recreational. Here we are now. So some of the rules with California are you got to be 21 or over. Obviously, you can't be under 21. So they have that cut off. You can't be smoking it out in public. I think, as everybody knows that, it's not like a cigarette. You can't walk down the street with it or anything like that. You can't be 1,000 feet away from a school or a daycare center. So for the most part, you're doing this marijuana, you're doing it at home.
Now, does
that's
every
sort of
dispensary
idea.
Let you come in if you're a tourist, or is it only certain dispensaries?
I believe you need to be... I don't know if it's required that you are a California resident in order to get marijuana, but you have to be 21 or over. I think that's
now,
probably going to be
what
the only requirement.
What I did here, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is... a lot of the counties in California actually didn't want, they're fine with medical, but for recreational, they didn't want tourists to just be going into their towns and, you know, buying stuff. So I heard that there's like 10 counties or areas that are allowing recreational sales, that not every dispensary is allowed to sell recreational to tourists. They're allowed to sell medically to the patients of California.
I'm curious how it's going to affect the medical how it is now. You know, it's how is recreation going to affect medical use and accessibility?
Well, they think with respect to medical sales, they know that that's going to go down. I think the idea is they're saying that it's
I don't think medical sales are going to go down, but just because what person in Cali wants to pay tourist tax?
Right.
All you got to do is go get your card, and then you're getting it at half the price.
I understand, but the estimates are it's supposed to go down from $2 billion to $1.4 million, but they think recreational sales are going to go to $5 billion. That's sort of the...
I mean, of course, recreational sales are going to go off the fucking roof.
They are going to go. It's going to be a big deal, but of course there's always going to be that black market because people are being taxed, the cultivators, the resellers are being taxed for it, so they end up losing, it's like, what, 45% tax or something with respect to what they ultimately get.
Yeah, are they going to use that as a sidestep to avoid the taxes and just fly under the medical radar?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, how do you ever regulate, how do you ever get rid of the black market?
I don't think you can ever get rid of the black market, but everybody makes like a good point of the fact that everyone does have the ability to do it. In the state of California, whether you're a medical patient or not, you're with this new law, you're allowed to grow six plants.
That's correct. You know? Anyone can grow six plants, 21 years of age or older, six plants. There's some rules with respect to people that have that are registered sex offenders and things like that, or have super felonies, super strikes. But for the most part, 21 years of age or older, you're allowed to do these things. You can actually grow for the first time. It's unbelievable. My parents, anyone can have six plants in their house. It's just incredible.
Is there something in the background playing?
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was. That was crazy. Right? Did you hear that?
Maybe what's going on.
We had a ghost
coming
through the radio station playing some crazy music somewhere.
Right. A ghost that was very excited about what's going on.
That means that we need to take more bong hits. That was just like a tune in to everybody. Hope everybody's doing well, hanging out in their cars, enjoying the day.
Yes.
And we're enjoying Southern California, where you guys are probably cold as fuck, but you know.
Just for the record, the cannabis hits apply to the guys next to me, not me. I'm just talking the law right now.
Oh,
of
I think
course,
I need
you
to
gotta
go.
Have the attorney interview. But
of course,
me and Luke,
have to say that.
Me and Luke, we love to fucking smoke. So
you and Luke can do that.
We're gonna be making a big show. This is a making a big show.
You know why? We're not out in public, so this behavior is perfectly acceptable.
Perfectly acceptable. And you guys can check it out on Facebook Live. Check us in the oil, in the wax. What are you guys smoking this morning? You smoking some keef? You smoking some oil? You doing a dab? You doing a toke? You rolling a joint? You getting some hash out? What are you eating? An edible? I mean, what is it that you got going on this morning? You know, let us know and hit us up on Facebook Live. You can check out all of our episodes. Also, check us out on purplehaze-radio.com.
Andrew, is it possible that they're not doing anything, that they're just working right now?
There are a lot of people working, but if you're listening to this show at work, that means one of two things.
You're the graveyard shift.
That means one of two things. Or you're listening to us afterwards. But what I did say, the important thing about work, is if you do have a crazy boss that's getting in your head and you're feeling all this anxiety and stress, don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you, because you can take a break. And when you take that break, you can smoke some weed. And since we always do the Wake and Bake show, we always ask our guests, what kind of music do they like to get up in the morning to jam to? So, Adam, my question to you is, if you picked a song to, you know, get up in the morning to, what is a song that you rock to? The little background music. What kind of music do you listen to?
You know what? I have to say, and it's kind of nerdy or it's old school.
No,
but,
anything.
But, you know, they have a new Eagles channel on XM. So I was just listening to Hotel California yesterday, okay. And
Hotel.
I just can't believe what a great song that
California.
Is. It's so timeless.
Is that very significant for what we were talking about? So.
Yeah, it might be. When they were talking about that hotel or that bottle of wine, maybe they were metaphors for what's happening with recreational marijuana today in California.
Hell yeah. Little Eagles. So, Little Eagles for the morning for you guys. Great band, definitely. Roll out your favorite joint. Let's smoke.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when Glenn Frey passed away. I mean, what a hit. What a legend he was.
Hey, Luke, what are you hitting on and dabbing on today? And shit? What you got going on?
I got some of the Super Cookies Live Resin.
Super Cookies Live Resin. So, for people who don't know much about cannabis, and that's the cool thing about you guys all listening to Cannabis Live education. Why don't you explain to everybody what live resin is?
Live resin is...
Does it talk to you?
Oh, yeah. Definitely speaks to the soul. But, you know, it's a whole plant extract that's immediately cut down and frozen. And I'm not sure exactly the process.
So they take it, and instead of drying it out, they actually freeze the molecules.
Yep.
And it's probably, like, the most safe, the most natural state you can do it.
Yeah, the end product is the best flavor, and that's why I prefer that.
And it's not mixed with any chemicals or any processes to get to having that type of oil. So it's probably one of the more expensive oils that are out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so when you're coming out to California and you want to enjoy all these wonderful things that we have, you definitely want to try some live resin for sure.
Absolutely. Always a good time.
So they didn't have live resin when the Eagles were big?
They didn't have it. They didn't have it, but...
You're lucky to get some Maui Waui or Acapulco Gold back then.
That was the shit. Yeah. The Maui Waui, the Acapulco Gold, man, that was the stuff that was the killer back then. And then a lot of people started crossbreeding those genetics, and then that's what you have is like a lot of the different... You hear about all these different strains and all these different things that people smoke, and you ask yourself, like, what is that? What makes one weed different? You know, like, there are people that don't smoke much weed, and they get one butt over another, and they crack it open, and they're like, man, I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. I just smoke that shit. Well,
you know, me as a novice, I had actually heard of Maui Waui, so I recollect that.
Yeah, right? Of course, because that was, like, something your dad... Or grandfather even might have been, or someone in that like age range might have been like, yeah, man, that was the shit when I was around.
Yeah, smokers are lucky these days. I mean, they're glad that they don't have to remember the days of the dirt weed from Mexico.
Yeah, the dirt weed, man. You guys would never know about brick Mexican weed with fucking seeds filled in it that they like used cars like it. They used to take brick weed in Mexico and they used to like. Go into these where they crushed cars and they would just load all the dirt weed in it and then spray it with layers of ammonia to try to kill the smell, which people didn't realize that they were smoking that crap on top of it. And it was all the male plants, the shitty stuff. And then they would crush with the cars all these weeds, and that's how they made the bricks when you heard about brick weed. And then they would cut that up into sections and they'd air seal it and then they'd sneak it through the United States.
Wow, that's fascinating. I feel like you could teach like a college course on this now.
Have you thought
about that?
I don't know about teaching a course, but definitely like to inform people on the radio for sure.
We'd dig through the bricks and try to find the lighter layers and pull that out for personal stash.
Any old school smokers, man, that's all the shit you had to do. You become an expert of the shit. And then when people started giving out buds in D.C., more like in the 80s and shit, and you started seeing that stuff coming into the United States when there wasn't, like, Homeland Security and crazy stuff, you started seeing all this bud that came from Canada. Because Canadians, man, they can grow and smoke and have some good motherfucking weed. And again, props out to Canada.
So they don't just do hockey in Canada?
They don't just do hockey, no, hell no. They grow some motherfucking weed.
Oh, yeah.
They grow some weed. Hey, so let's talk a little bit back, Luke, for a second, talk about these awesome pieces that you blessed us with by bringing them in today. So he has this company called Leisure Glass, and it's definitely one of those companies that have been outstanding as far as innovative over the years, making really good quality pieces that you can smoke out of. Some of my favorite bongs and water pipes over the years have definitely been a bunch of Luke's, and shout out to his brother who's also in the glass industry, Ben. And you brought a couple of really cool pieces because everyone's all into the dabbing. So now it seems like a lot of glass blowers are just making oil pieces these days, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people are. But, you know, I still make the wide range, all the old stuff that I've done. But everyone has to adapt and try to cover the whole market.
Yeah, you got to adapt with the culture.
And a lot of what has kept me afloat and made me happy is making affordable stuff that pretty much anyone can grab.
Yeah, because the glass industry has definitely gotten kind of crazy because so many people are getting into cannabis. They're kind of like want to have a nice piece that they have at the house kind of to show their friends and to have, and that works well. And people, at least American-made glass, is in so much demand that prices have been jacked up so much. But you've made it really important to, like, give really, make really good American-made quality. Not like the Chinese crap that you see in a lot of the smoke shops, like the cheap smoke shops that you roll in, you see them filled with glass. You got to remember that literally 90% of it is, who knows what is in that glass, to be honest with you. It's cheap glass that was made in China, and a lot of it has been replicated. And even your pieces and other glass blowers that we've known all throughout the country over the years are constantly being ripped off of their work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you put out a new design, within a week, they've got it up on their websites ready to go.
I mean, unbelievable that, you know, Luke and guys that him who've been doing it for 15, 20 years that had to start with nothing, with like strands of glass, to build themselves with such esteem and stature that they got to get constantly punked out by Chinese distributors that steal their shit, come to shows, look at what they do.
What don't the Chinese steal?
Yeah, well, it's just something you got to roll with.
It's not a big... You got to roll with it for sure.
Now, let me ask you something, Luke. Now that we're having this recreational marijuana, do you think there's a chance that glass is going to be sold at more like mainstream stores? Like, am I going to find glass at a Target or a Walmart near me at some point?
Absolutely.
Walmart, absolutely.
They're already selling rosin presses and all the accessories in Walmart.
Yeah, they're doing all the stuff that they normally would never have. Plus, you know, just so you know, Adam, for information purposes, do you know that Scott's Miracle-Gro did over a $500 million acquisition of all the different light hydroponic companies and manufacturers, the biggest people? They went in and sweeped in and bought everything because they want to be the picks and shovels of the cannabis industry.
Okay.
So major, major corporations and companies are making moves while everyone doesn't even realize it. And even, you know, groups like Philip Morris, you know, will deny it, but like in Canada are buying land and getting ready to do this shit. Even if Jeff Sessions is going nuts and saying he's going to do the things that he's going to do.
Right. They've been talking about that for years, right? The idea of big tobacco coming in. But
they're buying. They bought land.
And they've done it. They've done it. Yeah. So not just talking about it.
And Coors announced Corona. Corona did a deal in Canada to actually do cannabis beers, and it created this huge thing in the Canadian stock market.
Yeah, I saw something about that a little while ago.
Because of it.
So, what do you guys think? And you just brought it up earlier about that new Jeff Sessions statement that we have. We don't exactly know what he's going to do, but he's sort of stepping away from the coal memo.
Look, this is the thing, is every 5-10 years they go through and they raid people and they do all these things that they do. That this is just a fact of what it is. A lot of it is they'll go after companies that are, you know, linked to cartels and genuinely bad people. And then there's people that just get fucked in the process of them steamrolling and coming in. But what it's going to cause is a lot of political problems. Like California, again, is the biggest state in the United States and also has 55 electoral votes. And so does Nevada, Oregon, Washington, add up all these recreational states, and someone like Trump, who it's very important to him to be president, his votes are probably even more important to him to that than anything else on the fucking planet, in my, you know, my opinion. So you think when he starts adding up the scorecards and realizing that the scorecards aren't going to weigh good in your favor if you start coming in and bum-rushing the states that are making billions of dollars and then giving already in the first year, after the first year, Colorado, schools are getting money, programs are getting shit, billions of dollars are coming in, thousands of jobs.
Where's the negative impact?
More jobs in cannabis now.
It gives them reason to
even anything else in America.
Right, well, I just read something similar saying that there were more cannabis shops in Colorado than there were Starbucks, right? But, you know, in blue states like California, I don't think Trump's ever going to get the vote no matter what. So in blue states, it's not going to make a difference. But we have a real legal issue here. We should talk about it. But right under the Controlled Substances Act, all of this is illegal. It's been that way for, the Controlled Substances Act came out during Richard Nixon. In 1970, they decided to schedule marijuana as a Schedule I substance for no reason. It wasn't based in anything. Schedule I substances have no scientific, or medicinal value, and they're considered highly addictive. There weren't studies to show that this was the case with marijuana. And with the schedules, it's so absurd that while marijuana or cannabis is Schedule I, Schedule II substances are cocaine and methamphetamine. So how can we possibly live in a system where cocaine and meth are deemed less bad than cannabis? It's so absurd, this world in which we're living.
No, it is. But the reason is because of Big Pharma, because of bureaucracy, because a bunch of different things. But let's give a shout out to Senator Booker in New Jersey, who has have things up in the Congress now to try to deschedule marijuana. So like even Jeff Sessions, if he wants to start pouting and this and doing all the stuff it is, there's too many groups, too many politicians, too many people that are now putting things into Congress. As a matter of fact, Jeff Sessions is, from what I heard, is being sued by Hogan Law Group and an 8-year-old epileptic child because of what they're doing. And there's multiple lawsuits against the federal government for going against the Hemp Act, making CBD illegal in 2017. When it's something that has been in hemp and this and all this stuff for all these years.
Let me respond to that briefly. The 8-year-old, it's always so sad when you have someone on the other end who obviously cannabis maybe is the only thing that can help them. And that was sort of the idea behind this famous Supreme Court case, Gonzalez v. Raich, that came out in 2004, 2005, where it was a person who absolutely needed cannabis. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court majority opinion said that under the Interstate Commerce Clause, the federal government can actually restrict cannabis, even if it's being grown, homegrown, even if it's not in the marketplace per se, because in the aggregate, if everybody grows marijuana at their place, it affects interstate commerce. And we had Justice Thomas, and people hate Justice Thomas, but he came out with a good statement, basically saying that you guys are arguing in such a way that can make the Interstate Commerce Clause control everything that we do in life. And it shouldn't be construed as being so broad. So that happened in 2005 or 2004. So what's the difference now? What's going to make the difference now? Why would the Supreme Court change? And I think the idea, I agree with what you're saying, that there are so many states that are going forward with this. And I think we have a little bit more of a conservative Supreme
Court.
Half the country.
27 states. More going to be this year. Luke, what do you think about this, man? I know you're sitting there trying to absorb it. I almost feel like it's like kind of the political thing. It's just like almost too much in a way, but
it's inevitable. There's too many people who are educated about marijuana now for them to deny it and try to restrain people from it. So
I asked Adam what is his wake and bake thing in the morning. What is your wake and bake song of the morning to get you up before you're hitting the torch and shit? Give me a song and chalice background for you in this while we I got some coconut kush. We brought out some Dippin' Dabs, which is some really good THCA. Got a little live resin. We got a whole kind of little hodgepodge for you coming out this early in the morning.
Nice.
I'm definitely blessed for you to come and shout out Leisure Glass and check out Leisure Glass on what's your Instagram?
It's Leisure Glass on my Instagram.
Leisure Glass on Instagram, and you check them out at High Times Events. If you ever want to order any glass, you can get it through Rolling High, and check out Rolling High Glass and Rolling High Jason Blonsky on Facebook. He's also Rolling High Glass, I believe, on Instagram, where you can order and get all these great leisure pieces. And then if you come into the wonderful state of California, you can always hit them up on Instagram, and you'll definitely be able to take care of all you wonderful people that are going to enjoy all the great weed and even try this live resin and all this stuff we got going on here.
That's
in
right.
Wonderful California on Sunset Boulevard, live on Purple Haze Radio. What song you want to hear today?
Oh, probably AWOL 1. Rhythm is always a good one.
So,
AWOL.
Yeah.
And ONE.
Was that made by a guy who left the military?
Not exactly.
That's funny.
He's
a great one. So
he's a good friend. He worked with me at Leisure Glass for quite a few years.
We got a 1,500,000. He's also on Spotify.
Local graffiti crew at CBS.
Oh, I see. Okay.
LSD.
Really? Oh yeah, the LSD is like one of the best.
What's the LSD?
It's a strain.
LSD is his graffiti crew that he's in out here. CBS and LSD.
It can be in many things. It's actually what you're like, so high.
And it's also a strain of cannabis? Is that what
it's a strain of cannabis. It was also obviously like acid. What acid was back in the day.
Let me ask you this because you guys are the experts.
It's light up a dam.
It's
more dope.
Do we call it marijuana or do we call it cannabis?
Cannabis.
And why do we use cannabis instead of marijuana?
The reason why it was done that is because it was a way to remove the negativity of the word. Plus, in government, to be honest with you, if you wanted to have any kind of change and talk to Republicans or talk to anybody, you actually had to call it cannabis. Just because then, if you called it cannabis, it was more acceptable because it was scientific. Now you're talking
it's more
about
adult.
You're talking about cannabinoid. You're talking about the science of it. And that education to the politicians was something that was more of a better ground. It was better to talk about CBD, okay, which is non-psychoactive, which is a hemp, which can help brain stimulation, it can help cancer, it can help all kinds of shit, you know? Now, a little advice. I'm going to give some advice to all you dabbers out there that just take the torch and start fucking heating it up. And all of a sudden they grab oil and they dab it, and then all of a sudden they're hocking up and coughing like maniacs. Luke, please explain to people how to use your penises properly.
You gotta take a minute. Either that or you gotta use an e-nail, you know.
Okay,
those are always nice.
If you're doing an e-nail, that makes it easy, but if you're grabbing a torch old school and you heat up the nail, what is the advice? You have to wait how many seconds before you take your dab?
It just depends on the accessory. Like, the nails I'm using here, they're about a minute.
Okay, so for the nails
flavor and
that are on the usual Leisure Glass, when you're hitting up your nail, you just got to remember to wait. Like, wait a minute. I know you want to hit that dab right away, but what's going to happen? You're going to fucking cough your lungs up. You're going to lose the taste. So I'm going to properly hit the dab at the time that it's supposed to be because I actually have someone to help me time that today.
That's right. You're ready to go.
Thank you, Luke. We're hitting on one of his new pieces that are pretty tight. And check it out on Facebook Live. You get to see yourself.
Now, Luke, I saw you use your timer on your iPhone. Do you always use the timer on your iPhone before you take that hit? Or take that dab?
I have another timer at my shop that I use, but yeah, basically, you gotta wait a minute.
So you don't count fingers.
It's called a banger. Explain the banger.
The banger is it's a modified version of a dope pipe, basically.
To the layman, it's like a ball that just pops on the top and kind of seals the air so you can get a more tastier and larger hit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But with the carb cap, you gotta have that too. It's something that's newer, you know. I mean, back in the day, we're using two hot knives that we heated up on the stove.
Yeah, that's the old school. I heard motherfuckers when I tell them about shit and they hear me on the radio, they call me and say, yeah, I've been listening to your show and stuff. And, you know, I was doing that shit. I was hitting fucking oils out. So, but we were doing it the real way, the old school way. Yeah, the old school way when they would take two knives and heat up an oven and then fucking lay it on and then squish the two knives together. And then what are you smoking? Fucking metal and all this other shit. So thank God
it was rough back in the day.
Glass blowers, like Luke. Shout out to my boy.
Thank you
for keeping people healthier.
Yeah, and, you know, we've evolved as smokers. It's definitely different now.
You know, and I like water filtration. I think water filtration is important. You know.
Yeah, it makes it a lot smoother, nicer hit, take fatter rips. So,
Adam, if you if somebody needed to utilize your services, was interested in anything to do with cannabis and, you know, wanting to be an entrepreneur or, I don't know, even if they get in trouble, can they come see you?
Yeah, check me out at www.sostrinlawoffices.com, SOSTRIN, Law Offices. Phone number is 310-503-0515. I've got a really cool new website. Check it out. It shows me on video. So the issue is, am I a lawyer or am I an actor? But I'm actually a lawyer.
No, yeah. Well, you've been on a lot of TV series. As a matter of fact, shout out to, what's that the network that you're on a lot?
Oh, I was just on Fox 5 in San Diego the other day.
Prior to that you speak a lot on.
Oh, well, often I've been on One American News.
Yes.
I am the liberal challenger to Liz Wheeler on One America. We talk about legal, we talk about politics. It's mainly politics, so we'll talk about Trump.
Do you get up early for that one too, or what's your schedule on that bad boy?
Well, some of those San Diego hits, no pun intended, everybody, audience. That's not me. So anyway, those hits can be so early in San Diego, so I have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning because I go on at 7 a.m. or something like that, it's kind of a tough drive.
See, so at least it was a lot shorter for him coming 4:20 for us this morning at our favorite time of the hour. You know that, Luke, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. And then shout out to the 7-10 hours. And just so you guys know, we do our cannabis shows at 4:20 a.m. for the East Coast motherfuckers that are driving into work, and then we replay at the 7:10 a.m. oil hour. And then at 4:20 p.m. we replay it. And then at 7:10 p.m. we have a concert that we do Monday through Friday. So check out our schedule and check out different great concerts from Pearl Jam to Government Mule, 311, Fish, Grateful Dead, and get to hear all these really cool old school concerts that we picked out for all you guys to enjoy of different ages from all over the world and all over the country, and get the great feeling of Cannabis Lifestyle Radio Station live on Purple Haze Radio.
Nice.
So wake and bake with us and hang out with us today while we enjoy the rest of our day with Luke and Adam.
You know, I really like that band, Government Mule. I love Warren Haynes, the guitarist for them. He used to be in the Allman Brothers.
He was in also Widespread Panic, right?
I didn't know that. I know that he was in the... He did tour with the Grateful Dead. I can tell you did that.
Nice.
Such a brilliant musician. All those guys from the Allman Brothers were so good. I play guitar my whole life.
Oh, guitarist. Nice. Hell yeah.
I love guitar.
You play any instruments, Luke, or no?
No, I'm
fully... Mainly master of the glass.
Just the glass pipe.
Yeah, I'm in my shop about 70 hours a week.
That's all this motherfucker needs to be there. You have no idea the shit that he tricked out. As a matter of fact, I have to talk about... Why don't you hand me over the piece... This fucking unbelievable piece, and we'll have some pictures of it that we'll have Luke sent over to us. But this is a really cool oil rig that has just unbelievable color and skill, and the base of it is so thick. And that's the thing, is like the quality of this glass is just unbelievably thick, and the symmetry on it that he pulled off. These are called funicellos, right? That are kind of like twisted, or what would you call this type of...
That's a reticello.
A reticello, okay. So it's a glass technique that's very difficult. You have to spend a lot of years. Like, guys go through, when you see designs inside of glass, they took little sticks of glass and then combined them together and then created little balls and then had to fuse those balls together. And that's what they used to call what you see, what is called a wigwag, right? For if you were going to have, like... a glass 101. And a wigwag is kind of like, or am I explaining it wrong? Or
you're a little off, but it's...
But from an expert, you explain how changes of how you create designs a little bit. Explain like what a wigwag is then.
A wigwag is a twist back and forth in a tubing. It's usually a striped tubing. So in the end product, you'll have a back and forth stripe with a spiral on both ends.
Okay, and to do the one that you did?
The reticello is a twisted line tubing that's there's two of them, and they're twisted in opposite directions and sleeved over each other.
Okay, so to create that and create it with such greatness and symmetry is a lot of fucking skill, and I've seen a lot of guys try to pull that off, and he made this sick, sick piece that has in the front of it an image of... Who is that?
It's Jeremy Stenberg, Twitch Pro FMX rider.
Okay, so for a Pro FMX rider, he custom made, and Luke makes fucking tons of pieces, so to get him to make a custom piece like that was definitely, I fucking know, was an honor for the person that he made that for the pro rider, and I'm looking at it and it is fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know? Great job.
So, you know, that's the cool thing. And then shout out to the rider who gets to enjoy this unbelievable piece, bro. Man, phew, that thing is savage.
Yeah, we're going to be smoking soon, so.
Yeah, and he'll be enjoying it. And hopefully he'll Instagram it and give a shout out. But either way, you guys get to take a picture of it. But there are a lot of celebrities that go to famous glassblowers to actually get pieces done, right? I mean, not just from yourself, but
definitely,
tell people just this.
All the rock stars, everyone loves to party, so you got to get some nice smokes.
Who are some celebrities that you know that bought from other homies you knew? You don't have to mention the glassblower, but like some celebrities you know specifically that have bought pieces. I've heard that. What's his name?
There's Mac 10, Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, B-Rail. I've had a piece. Yeah. What was...
you met Hugh Hefner?
Who's the guy?
No, a company I've done collaborations with, they made a custom hookah for him about 10 years ago.
Celebrities that have gotten pieces from,
And he ended up breaking it after a couple days. There.
Is that right?
They're letting him walk around the mansion with it and just drop it on the floor.
He probably slips on that robe that he wears all the time.
Yeah, right.
He passed away, but yeah, right. Shout out to Hefty. But Dan Blazarian, right? Didn't he buy like a fucking giant
Buck
piece from Buck, right? And that piece was like $100,000 or something, or what was? How much was that piece?
Yeah, that was I'm pretty sure it was $250,000.
Yeah, $250,000 for a piece. I remember a bunch of glassblowers during a glass competition made a chandelier made out of skulls. You remember that thing during the Vegas competition?
Yeah, that was
and
sick.
I remember that thing went for massive fucking money. So imagine that there are people that actually smoke out of glass pieces that are $250,000.
Wait,
you know?
Can I ask how big would that item be if it you know sells for that much money? What are we looking at?
It really depends on what they asked for.
The work done. One was a chandelier. With skulls, and you could smoke out of them. It was like ridiculous. One of our homies did a giant spider web with a spider, and you could press a button, and the fucking spider came down, and you could hold it and smoke out of it.
But that's the most creative thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
They get pretty wild.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. When you start researching the glass industry, and shout out to all the guys.
And so, Luke, if somebody asked you to do something that was, you know, create, you know, some big item, looked like a motorcycle or whatever, you'd be able to do it.
There are guys that do it. I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean.
Take a little practice, a few trial and errors to get it perfected. But
when you have that many years and dedication, you know what to do.
Wow.
But what it is all the different glassblowers, what they choose to do is they kind of like go into an area of what they like. Some guys maybe are really good at faces.
Yeah, everyone's got their niche.
Sculptures. Everyone has a niche that's very solid. It's almost like their own stamp of what they're known for. And a lot of other glass, once you've created that space, a lot of people don't want to take that space because of glass industry is really strives on creativity, you know, in a sense.
Yeah.
You have a lot of people that want to copy somebody because they're admiring them in a way, you know, but there are guys like, you know, Luke and a bunch of these guys that we've known for over 25 years that you know, they've blessed a lot of love and taught thousands of people over the years, right? Their art, you know, and got aspiring people to keep growing. Because, like, with all these people now getting into cannabis, there are only so many pieces these fucking guys can make a year compared to the population of the world that's dialing in. So shout out to all the guys that are apprenticing glassblowers and fucking working hard in these shops to do everything they do. You're really blessing all these people that are enjoying these pieces. So shout out to what you do.
Yeah, every time you say bless, I think of the Pope for some reason. I don't know why.
Nah, but in a cannabis sense, it's a blessing. You know, you always got to look at things in a positive light. And I hope everybody tries to do when you're listening in your cars. Thank you so much for tuning in. Adam, again, another shout out. Adam, do you have a Instagram or anything like that again before we jump off?
You know, I do have an Instagram. My name's Adam Sostrin. So however you look that up on Instagram, you know, Facebook, Adam Sostrin. Sostrin Law Offices on the website. You can find me, SostrinLawOffices.com.
And then, Luke, you want to give any shout-outs to anybody while we're closing out for the wake and bake?
Yeah, definitely a shout-out to my assistant, Mondo, for always helped me hold it down, and Rolling High, my distributor.
Yeah, shout out to Jay, man. We love him. One of my closest homies in the world, Rolling High Glass.
And you can always check me out at Leisure Glass on Instagram. So
check it out for sure. Thank you guys so much. And tune in to the Wake and Bake Show, where we always wake and bake and have interesting people that come on and check out our schedule. Go on Purple Haze Properties on Facebook, or Purple Haze Radio on Facebook, or check it out on purplehaze-radio.com. And then tell your friends to download Dash Radio. It's an app. It's everywhere. Come smoke with us, toke with us, get all kinds of great information, and we'll talk to you on the next Wake and Bake Show. Peace in the Middle East.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.